Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
It has not been the year that Bryce Harper was expecting. Neither has lived up to the hype or the expectation thus far. As an example, as a team, you do not go out and add a collection of all-stars, including Harper, at $330 million, just so you can be part of the wild card race in August. That's not what you do. If you're going to add that kind of talent, that kind of money, you do it to win divisions and to stack rings. But for any number of reasons, it has not worked out that way. Not so far. Not for the Phils and not for Harper. This entire season has been one step forward, two steps back. They're just not getting it done. They're not getting it done. He's not getting it done. They're not. He's not. In fact, winning the first two games of this series against the Cubs was one of the rare times that they've actually won back-to-back games this year against a team over 500. They just have not been able to string together wins against good teams. So last night was no shock. They had a chance to sweep Chicago, and then they promptly fall behind 5-0. Through five innings, Yu Darvish was dealing for the Cubs. Philadelphia could not get anything going. It makes sense. Again, for some reason, the Phillies this season, they just can't have nice things. They can win two games in a row against the Cubs, but then they're looking at losing Jake Arrieta for the season. Even the power of the sweet baby blue throwback unis were not enough to get Philadelphia's bats going or bringing back old man Charlie Manuel. Now, they did add a run. They made it 5-1 in the bottom of the eighth. Then they pushed across a couple of more in the ninth to make it look a little better than it actually was. And then Bryce Harper came to the plate with the bases juiced. He fouls off the first two pitches. He takes a couple of balls. He fouls off another pitch. And then this.
With the bases loaded and one out.
Harper, oh my God.
Deep to right field. Way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk off. Here in the bottom of the ninth inning, a remarkable come from behind victory. It's a stunned Cubs team that has been swept out of Philadelphia.
Walk off grand slam, win the game, sweep the series, one back in the wild card chase. Thanks for coming. And again, if we're being real, that was freaking electric. That's what they brought him there to do. That's why they're paying him over $300 million for moments like that. Did you hear John Kruk? Kruk is a dude who could really swing it. Kruk is a dude who did it in Philadelphia. Even Kruk lost his mind. Quote, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Dude sounded like you just saw a UFO. Or Randy Johnson. Or somebody told Kruk to take down his glorious, greasy mullet back in the day. Cut that thing, John. Oh my God. Like, I don't know if the baseballs are juiced or not. I don't even care. That was a bomb. An absolute moonshot. I wasn't sure if that was going to come down. The stats on that thing do not tell the entire story. In fact, if ever you've been wondering if the numbers lie, this is a time where the numbers lie. Because the numbers were 113 MPH exit velo, 40-degree launch angle, 413 feet. I mean, 413 feet. Are you kidding me? If I told you somebody hit a ball 413 feet, that would sound pretty nice, but nothing to get worked up about. The only reason that ball went 413 feet was because the second deck of the stadium stopped it from going 1,000 feet. Can you run that back one more time for me?
With the bases loaded and one out.
Oh my God.
Deep to right field. Way!
Again, Harper has not had the season that he would have liked, but there are few people on this planet who can tie into a ball the way he did. Man, that was smoked. And the only thing faster than the ball leaving the yard was Harper's trip around the bases. He took off like it was going to be an inside-the-park job. instead of one that could have gone 1,000 feet. He took off like somebody had put $330 million on home plate for him. He nearly caught up to Rhys Hoskins, who was ahead of him on the bases. And then there was the post-game interview. And if you thought that Bryce was going to have calmed down by the time they got to him on the field, you'd be wrong.
Take me through that emotion. You knew you had it as soon as you hit it. The celebration afterward. Here it comes. How good of a feeling is that?
That was sick. Wow. I don't even know. I mean, that was awesome. Oh, my gosh. I saw my parents' lights are off in the suite right now, so they probably didn't see that. So thanks, Mom and Dad. Appreciate you.
They're going to have to go back and check out the replay. I have a feeling we're going to see that a couple of times. But take me through that at bat. They bring the left-hander in to face you. The bases are loaded. Guys doing their jobs in front of you. They get you to the plate. What are you thinking at that moment?
Yeah, Holly's good against lefties. You know, he's always, you know, throw that sinker in, slider down and away, cutter thing that he has. So he's really trying to get a sinker that he misses over the plate, and I kind of cheated to that.
Anyway,
one right
that
here.
Was sick. Wow. You know what that was? That was needed, not just for the Phillies, not just for Harper, but for baseball. Because Bryce Harper is on that short list of guys in baseball who can give you that kind of electricity. That's why he's a superstar, even when he's not putting up superstar numbers. That was sick. Wow.
That was sick. Wow.
He needs more of that. The Phillies need more of that. Baseball needs more of that. Everyone needs more of that, except for the Cubs, who, while looking at being swept, still could not make a 5-run lead stand up. Man, handle your bully, Joe Maddon. Go sacrifice a goat or do whatever it is you do that allegedly makes you Joe Maddon. Because what you did right there ain't going to cut it. Boy, they needed that. Bryce needed that. Phillies needed that. Everybody needed that except for the Cubs. 1-800-636-8686. You know how I know they needed that? Because I led the show with baseball. Eric Neander is my guest. Eric, it is really good to have you on. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It is great to talk to you, Eric. Thanks so much. Now, you're coming off a loss on Wednesday in San Diego. Eric, this snapped a 5-game winning streak. I know you're never going to be thrilled with a loss, but when you go 5-1 on a road trip, does that still feel like a really nice West Coast swing?
Yeah, it does. It doesn't feel quite as good when you have the opportunity to go 6-0 at the end, but anytime getting out, and especially going west across the country like that and all that comes with it, to take a 5-1 right there and some of the injuries we have and being a bit depleted, we'll sign up for that any day of the week, and it's what we needed.
You know what? I'm going to talk about the injuries, Eric, in 1 minute, but tonight you've got Charlie Morton on the mound against Detroit. Over the course of the season, he's been among the AL leaders in so many categories. I can make the argument that he's one of the best free agent signings of the offseason. What do you make of how he's pitched since arriving with the team?
Yeah, I think we'd make that case ourselves. He's been wonderful. It's a remarkable late career, so to speak, resurgence for him, and he's battled through a lot of injuries. It's taken him time to, I think, to find him his best self as a talent. But what he's done the last couple of years in Houston, we've really seen him pick up with us where he left off with them, and has remained healthy, has remained stronger, and you know, frankly, I think has continued to get better. So he's been a horse for us. It's everything that we could have asked for and hoped for on the field, and has been at least as much of that off the field as a leader and mentor for our young group. We're really excited that he's wearing our uniform.
Eric Neander is my guest. Now, Eric, from the outside, the thinking was the American League East was going to be the Red Sox, who were the defending World Series champs, and the Yankees coming off a 100-win season, so it was going to be a two-horse race, and it's been exactly that, right? A two-horse race between the Yankees and you. What has this season been like for you personally?
I'm not ruling out a third horse here at some point, but it's been fun. We've enjoyed it. Last year, we felt going into last season that we had a chance to be competitive. While I think the outside expectations were about as low as they've ever been, you know, we ended up getting to a spot winning 90 games and validated a lot of the decisions, a lot of the work that our staffs put in. And this year, the expectations were up off of those 90 wins. And that was part of why we went out and signed Charlie Morton and made a couple of the other moves that we did. To be in a position now where we're, you know, trending towards winning games somewhere in the mid-90s and being in the mix for a postseason spot, that's what we were expecting. But that doesn't make it that much any less enjoyable when you're in the middle of it. So we've got some work still here ahead of us, but we're really pleased with where our club's at and certainly what they've battled through to get here.
In fact, to that point, what they battled through to get here. Here is your question of the day. Why does Men's Health call the Peloton bike, quote, the best cardio machine on the planet, end quote? Why? Because it is. You can't find a workout that keeps you engaged, right? Well, Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Next, you can work up a great sweat at home for less than the cost of a studio class. I know because I have a Peloton. I've talked about this. I've got a Peloton. It takes up almost no space whatsoever. I've got it in my office. I do my workouts in my home office now. And best of all, it's always right there. One subscription is all you need to get unlimited classes for your entire family. Again, no commute, no reservations. And you get to work with some of the best instructors in the country. Peloton right now is offering a limited time offer. You can get $100 off accessories when you purchase the bike and get a great cardio workout from your home. Do this. Go to onepeloton.com, use the promo code Roman, get started. Onepeloton.com, use the promo code Roman, get started. Onepeloton.com, promo code Rome. Glasnow, he was so dominant, but then he went down with injury. Blake Snell is working his way back from injury. So, Eric, when you deal with injuries like that, it seems to me that it might be easy for guys to think, we got off to a really nice start, but we lost two great pitchers, and then either consciously or maybe unconsciously give in a little, but it doesn't seem like anybody's done that. What's that say about the chemistry and the mentality that you have in that clubhouse?
It says a lot. You know, we have a reputation as an analytically oriented organization, and a lot of our decisions are influenced that way. But this is something that from the players that have grown up in our system, competed together, won together, and the guys we brought in from the outside, this is a special group, and the chemistry and the way that they can pick each other up is something that has been the forefront of a lot of our decisions. But it's very much been a next man up mentality. We put our roster together with having depth on hand in mind to combat some of these issues, maybe not quite as many as we've had, but you know, the Yankees are doing the same thing right now. But for them to compete the way they are and to take it day to day and to continue to show up with the energy they have, that's all we can ask for this time of year.
You know, Eric, talking to you for a few minutes, I know you're not going to make it about you, but let me make it about you for a minute, because your road to this spot to me is pretty amazing. Let's go back to high school. You were growing up in upstate New York. You played a number of sports. What was life like for you at that point?
I'll try to get it off me as soon as I can, but I will. I grew up like many kids, I think, across the country, in a rural town, Oneonta, New York, 20 minutes from Cooperstown. There's a lot of baseball in the area. Baseball was a passion of mine, and I had visions of playing at least into college, and that probably would have been the end of it. But some health issues and some surgeries that went the wrong way took the opportunity to play off the table. But, you know, after experimenting and thinking about a different of, you know, variety of career paths, just the itch for baseball was strong, and never let it go, and found my way back to it.
You know, that was the short version of that story, and that was you trying to get it off you. But the fact is, even with the injuries and the surgery, you still hit over 500 as a senior, and you went to Virginia Tech, and it would have been great to play some baseball. But early in your time there, you were studying engineering, both aerospace and mechanical. Eric, not exactly the classic preparation for a front office job in baseball. I mean, at that point, when you were studying those things, what was your plan?
Yeah, to try to get as far away from baseball as possible, perhaps.
So right.
Once playing was no longer a possibility, I think it was to take a crack at what else there was in the world, and enjoyed math, enjoyed science, and wandered through college trying to figure out another path and another passion, and I couldn't find it, and ultimately I got reconnected with the staff there at Virginia Tech, and they were great to me at the time and let me work some camps, and the itch for baseball came back, and off it went, and fortunate to have ended up with an opportunity here.
I was going to say, Eric, so really quickly, so how did you end up with that opportunity? How did you find your way to the Rays as an intern? How did you find your way back in?
Yeah, asked a lot of questions, reached out to a lot of people, got a lot of no's, including from here. But I think, you know, initially had a lot of interest in coaching. That was the motivation. And I connected with a few people on the pro side of the game that worked in Major League Baseball front offices. And the more I learned about it, the more I got to enjoy. I think, you know, you have the subject matter of baseball, but the intellectual stimulation that, that comes with a lot of the work from a front office perspective really, really clicked for me and began to reach out and establish contacts, seek just as much advice and an understanding of how it works as possible. And through that, did not succeed in my first attempt for an internship, nor my second, but about a year or so after school and taking a few other jobs and so on, they were maybe they gave up and decided, fine, come in for a few months and off you go. So I got in the door initially trying to help build the database here with James Click, who's a coworker of mine here, and not anything that I would have ever expected to be my entry point to baseball, but that's what it was, and tried to make the most of it from there.
That's how you do it. You just got to find a way in. So finally, you're not just looking to have a nice season. You were there when the Rays went to the World Series back in 08. You know what that feels like. You want to get back there. Does this team feel like one that can not only reach the postseason, but make some noise once you get there?
Yeah, we're hopeful, especially if we can keep our heads above water here, and that's not going to be any easy feat on its own. There are more teams playing well in the American League right now than there are spots, and Oakland's very much in this mix, and I'm going to refuse to believe that, you know, Boston's in that mix, and we'll refuse to believe otherwise until it's just impossible to believe otherwise. But I think once we get there, the fact that Blake, Tyler Glass now, Yonny Chirinos, some of our horses here, Brandon Lau on the position player side, we're hopeful to get these guys back in some capacity in mid-September. If that's the case, then the experiences and the growth of the group we've had while some of those guys have been out, combined with getting those guys back, it'll force some creativity to get the most out of everybody, but really, really like what we might be able to do with a roster that's more healthy than what we have right now.
He is the senior VP of baseball operations, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, and they are 71-51. They've got the second wild card spot right now, and they're at home tonight against Detroit. Eric Neander, my guest. Eric, so good to visit with you. Thanks for taking the time to do so. That was great.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate it as well.
Me too, Eric. Thank you very much. Check out Big Voice Dude going custom for that top of the hour rejoin. Alvin, can I hear that one more time? How did you get that guy to do that?
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show, the self-gloss segment on CBS Sports Radio.
Paul Big Voice Dude Turner. If you need him. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. There are very few rules on this show. There is no self-glossing. That is one of the only rules on the show. We have not allowed a segment of this in more than 5 years. I thought that I would never do this ever again. The last time I did this was 2014. You might recall, in 2014, the Crystal Methodist got through.
Houston, hello. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is the Crystal Methodist.
Crystal Methodist. I like that.
How are you?
Good,
thank
good.
Thank you.
Where'd that come from?
Well, I used to sling meth in the parking lots of Methodist churches, and I found they were the best customers.
That's not a good call. No. All right, so one of the reasons I played that, two reasons, to give you a taste of what's to come, and did you see the way I set that up? I said, let's go to Houston. Who is this? So I'm not giving away your self-gloss. I'm going to say, be ready. If you're on hold, I'm going to give the city or the area code, and you need to be ready. This email says, Dear Jim, hopefully everyone will keep it real for the self-gloss segment today. Sincerely, Slim Jim, who gets the trim in Green Bay. Three things. Three letters. CBS. CBS. You got that. There is still a line. Are we ready to do this? Our first self-gloss segment in more than 5 years. It could very well be our last self-gloss segment. Make it count. Let's go to Huntington Beach, HB. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Rome. It's the Hooters Sharpshooter.
The Hooters Sharpshooter.
That's correct.
How'd you get that gloss?
In 2009, my wife and I, we attended an Angels and Yankees ALCS game in which they won. And to celebrate, we were going to meet our friends at Hooters right there in Anaheim, but we never made it inside. That's because we spent our time conceiving my son in the Hooters parking lot in my truck. He's 9.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
This has already struck me as a bad idea. Did you see what that guy just said? The Hooter sharpshooter. Why? Because we went to a Hooters, but we never made it inside because me and my wife conceived our son in the truck of that parking lot. An entire segment of that. Hey, John, you're an idiot. That wasn't the Hooter sharpshooter. That was John in Huntington Beach. Sorry to give you up, bro. All right, let's try another one. This time we go to Denver. Hey, what's up? Who's this?
Jack.
Who?
They call me
who?
That because
Wait, whoa, back up. Say it one more time. Who? Yeah, no, who?
I'm the lumberjack, Rome.
Oh. How come?
Because I got a big burly beard and a giant girthy log.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Okay. Listen. I said this. I took almost an entire segment to lay this thing out. There's still a line. I'm not looking to run you. It's allowable. It's permissible. We're doing a self-gloss segment today. Normally, if you self-gloss, you get hammered. Every call does not need to end with somebody getting hammered. But if you call this show and you talk about, quote, a girthy log, you're going to get hammered. It doesn't need to be like that. There's still a line. I still work for a company. I still need this job. Don't make me regret giving you this. 1-800-636-8686. Let's see. Let's go to Orlando. Let's go to Orlando. Hi, who's this?
Romy, they call me the Chicken Man.
Really? Why?
I have been on a bit of a healthy kick as of late, and all I do is eat chicken for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I am practically bringing these poor fowls to the brink of extinction. Not to mention the fact that the chicks love me, and I have a big rooster.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
All right, so if the last guy... If the last guy got run for having a girthy log, Rooster Smack's going to get you run. Clones, don't make me rip this segment back halfway through. But that'd be a stuff of legend. I finally bring it back. I bring it back for the right reasons to thank you for the love that you gave to me en route to me getting into the Hall of Fame. And then we might not make it through. Like, never mind, hey, maybe Rome will let us do it for two segments. Maybe Rome is going to rip this thing from us before the end of the one segment. I'm really doubtful we're going to make it. If you're going to keep self-glossing about your Johnson, we're not getting through the segment. Clean it up, man. Clean it up. Don't make me rip this thing from you. Let's go to the 360. Hi, who's this?
This is the bird feeder.
Why?
Because I feed Hawk 3 hours a day, 5 days a week on Twitter. I'm just feeding him all the time. So I'm the bird feeder.
All right, the bird feeder. He didn't get run. It was lame, but he didn't get run at least. Way to keep it clean. All right, so that's one in a row. 1-800-636-8686. Just rolling the dice. Just doing self-gloss Friday. Ooh, I don't know about this one. Here goes nothing. Hey, everybody, Alvin. Keep your finger on that dump button. I only say that because I know this city, and Hawk is turning a shade of white that I have not seen. All together now, let's go to Craftville. I'm not sure where that is, but I've got a pretty good idea. Let's go to Craftville. Hi, who is this?
Jimmy, it's Robert in Craftville by way of Jupiter, Florida. How you doing?
Good, Robert. What's up?
Well, first of all, it's a real shame these other guys can't have more class, Jim. I've been listening to you for years. Congrats on all your success. Congrats on the Radio Hall of Fame. I'm very close to another Hall of Fame myself, but I can't get into any of that right now because of the ongoing thing that they got going there. But listen, back to the nicknames. My buddies and I down here in Jupiter, we would from time to time go and get stress relief therapy at this massage place. And, well, you know, one thing led to another, Jimmy, and now they all refer to me as the mango nut rag. And let me tell you why.
That's not a good call. No. How about you don't tell me why?
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
How about that guy? How about that guy not giving the gloss and the quick explanation, but rather the entire take leading into the gloss? With his fake Boston accent. B-I-C. So far, only one caller has made it through the call without getting run. Self-gloss Friday. Let's go to Hollywood. Hi, who's this?
Yo, Jim, they call me O'Reilly's.
O'Reilly's?
Why? Yeah, I'm not really proud of it. Look, you know, I'm an actor and a writer, and a lot of times it's a struggle, man. You got to get a side hustle on. So in the male escort community, the ladies say that I have better parts, better prices every single day. But they also used to call me the taco teaser at Penn State. You want to?
That's not a good call. No.
No, I don't want to.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
You see what that guy did? That guy tried to go with multiple self-gloss. I should have made that as a rule, too. You're entitled to one self-gloss, not multiple self-gloss, especially if the second self-gloss is where he tried to go. That was Mark in Hollywood. I'm on to you, bro. Let's go to Boston this time. We're continuing with Self-Gloss Friday. Hope you're all enjoying yourselves. I'm not, but I'm going to make good on it. I said that I would. I'm a man of my word. Boston. Hi, who's this?
Oh, hello, Jim. Hey, I actually live down in Florida now, home of the swamp crack. That's why they call me Marky the Gooch.
Why, Marky?
Well, you get a little, you know, sweat around your Davenport and your crank.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
All right, so normally when I do this show, I know when things get hot, I know when we get on the line, I know when we look over the line. I know when there's going to be a phone call waiting for me after the program. I got a pretty good sense. I'm fearing the worst. You're not working with me. Did you not hear the disclaimer that I gave to you last segment? Did you not hear what I had to say as this segment started to develop and most of you were self-glossing with things relating to your own anatomy? All right? I want to feel good about this because, as I mentioned, I'm doing this because you helped me get in the Hall of Fame. I could end up in the NFL Hall of Fame, the NBA Hall of Fame, the NHL Hall of Fame. I could go to Cooperstown. This segment will never see the light of day ever again if you keep this up. Man, don't make me pull this thing before the end of the segment. Let's be clean. Clean it up. Can somebody do something funny and clever without going below the belt and without getting run? That's the challenge here. Can you do something smart and clever without resorting to that? It's a big ask, I know. Bigger than I thought. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Cleveland. C-Town, home of America's team. Hi, who is this?
This is Andy the Dandy from Clevelandy.
I like that, Andy the Dandy. Where'd that come from?
Honestly, I just made it up because I wanted to get on the show. Also, I have a big schmeckle.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
There you go, bro. Thought you were kind of lame, but I was happy for it. You know, Self-Gloss Friday was not a way for you to come in here and talk about your unit. That's never what self-gloss has been. Or never what it was supposed to be. But that's where we ended up, didn't we? That's where we ended up. Do I have to make a rule within the rule? Hey, no more. You know, I bet the quickest way for me to clear the calls would be to say, self-gloss Friday, except no discussion about how well-endowed you are. There'd be nobody on hold. That'd be the quickest way to clear the phones. You're running out of time. And there will not be a second segment. Let's go to Harrisburg. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is the Canadian Beaver Savior.
Canadian Beaver Savior. Why is that?
Well, I don't like to give away my secrets, so you're going to have to talk to Tyler and Edmonton's girl about that.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
Hey, Jason, like that call. This is why you'll never not be in the smack-off, bro. You are a try-hard guy, I'll give you that. You're not very good at it, but you are a try-hard guy. Smack-off. Self-gloss Friday continuing. And getting worse. We're going downhill. Let's try Orange. Let's try Orange. Hi, who's this?
This is Big Papa.
Big Papa. All right, I'll bite. Why do they call you Big Papa?
Well, I got the nickname from my stepdaughter, and it's, well, it honestly, it's because I'm fat.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
He said it's because I'm fat. I could end it right there. Clones, I got to tell you, man, this is so much more disappointing than even I expected. I knew it would be a train wreck. There's a disconnect right now between me and Twitter. Because Twitter is calling it the most amazing segment ever. And because I've hosted every segment in the history of this show, I can tell you from personal experience, this is one of the worst segments ever. If I went about doing this show every single day, I would have been taken off the air probably in month one and not lasted 30 years. Let's keep moving. I'm hoping that somehow, some way, somebody pulls this thing off and we can end it on a positive note. Let's go to the D, Detroit. In Detroit. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Jim. Hey, man. They call me the helmet scuffer.
Oh, I can't wait to find out why. Why?
Well, hey, the ladies have been calling me that because my helmet's been dragging on the pavement since I was 13.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
You know what? You and me, we're good. You and I, we are good. The debt has been paid. In fact, overpaid. You're welcome. Y'all owe me. Hope you had your fun. We're good. We're done. That's it. All right. There is your self-gloss Friday. It's never going to happen ever again. Ever. Freaking ever. 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 Run that back. Play that back. Listen to that as many times as you want. I did that because I said that I would do that. We will never do that again. Time will not heal that wound. Time will not make that right. Not 5 years from now, not 10 years from now. We're good. We're done. You're welcome. Thanks for coming. You know what? People can talk all they want about not judging a book by its cover, but we all do it. All of us. Appearance can be everything, especially in a professional situation, which is why I want to talk to you for a minute about that bag you've got over your shoulder. Are you still rocking that old college backpack to work or around town? Man, ditch that thing. Look the part. Daniels is a New York City-based men's leather briefcase brand that's making boys look like men, one bag at a time. And the best part is, you can afford this bag before you land the big job. This is how it works. They cut out the middlemen. They sell directly to you. That way, Daniels is able to offer high-quality luxury leather at an incredibly reasonable price of $195 for a luxury briefcase. Compare that to luxury brand names with starting prices closer to $5. The leather is extremely high quality. The look is exactly what you want when you walk into an office. And it's perfect to transition from workday to date night if that's something you have to do. Right now, you can get $25 off your Daniels briefcase at danielsnyc.com. danielsnyc.com. Just be sure to use the promo code Rome at checkout. $25 off one of their brilliant leather briefcases. And they offer free shipping. Again, danielsnyc.com, promo code Rome. Get $25 off a handcrafted, high-quality leather briefcase with free shipping. danielsnyc.com. Keston Hira is my guest. Keston, good to have you on. How are you?
Doing well. You?
Good, good. Listen, there's a lot I want to talk to you about from a SoCal perspective, but let me start with where you are right now. You're having a huge rookie season for a team that's battling for a division and a postseason spot in the middle of August. What's it like for you right now, and how exciting is it to be going to the yard every single day?
Yeah, it's been a blast so far. You know, ever since getting called up and having that first stint there for that month or so, just kind of learning about, you know, the everyday life of, you know, the big league player and, you know, what it takes to perform at the highest level. And then taking that and just applying it to, you know, every game I've had so far. It's been a blast so far. And to be in the position we're in where we're in a postseason hunt race and, you know, being one game out above, you know, the first place and wild card, it's exciting. So this last month is going to be a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to it.
Now, Keston, it's a team that was so close to the World Series last year, and now you're a part of this as a rookie, being right in the middle of a playoff race. As you look around that clubhouse, how much of what makes this team good is about pure talent, and then how much of it is about the way guys approach the game every single day?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of both. You know, last year in the minor leagues when, you know, the Brewers were, you know, in the playoffs, you know, it was exciting to watch, and it made you want to feel like you wanted to be in that dugout on that team, part of the whole success and journey they had last year. But to be a part of it now, you know, it's even more amazing. I have a lot of the guys haven't ever experienced last year, have a little extra chip on their shoulder. You have a good combination of veteran guys and young players that, you know, are both hungry for, you know, the postseason and for the playoffs. So, we're in a good spot right now, and just looking to continue it for, you know, the remainder of the season.
All right, so I'm going to circle back to the big league club in a minute and what you're doing right now, but I want to go back to your days. It all started in Valencia here in Southern California. When did you first start playing baseball, and what were the early days like?
Yeah, so grew up in Valencia, started playing baseball when I was four, over at William S. Hart, you know, baseball park over there. So, yeah, just growing up, you know, I was big sports guy, so I kind of played all types of sports, baseball, basketball, football, golf, soccer. So, but, you know, as I grew up, you know, I kind of tended to enjoy baseball a little bit more, and you know, I seemed to be better at it too. So I kind of stuck with it and, you know, enjoyed my time up there, made a lot of friends, and, you know, had a lot of fun.
Keston Hira joining us. So you had to make a decision because, as the story goes, in those days you were working with Sean Thompson, and he had been drafted by the Giants. And he says there was a moment when you were 12 when everything changed and he couldn't get you out. Do you remember when that all changed, and what did you take away from your time with him? What happened?
Yeah, I think, you know, as high school was approaching, I think I kind of hit the reality that, you know, it was mainly baseball and basketball, but I kind of hit the reality that, you know, I wasn't 6'4", very tall to play basketball, so I kind of stuck with baseball. But like I said, all, you know, all during that time, you know, I seemed to be better at baseball than basketball, and that's when I kind of shifted, you know, more of my focus towards baseball, and, you know, starting giving it, you know, all my dedication and, you know, extra time towards it, and, you know, it all paid off at the end. But yeah, Sean Thompson's been, you know, great for me my whole baseball career, and he's been a huge mentor for me on and off the field, so I can't thank him enough for everything he's done for me.
All right, so you put up huge numbers in high school, and then you end up going to UC Irvine. What was your time like at that program?
Oh, I loved it there. You know, when I was in high school, you know, Irvine was always a spot where, you know, I can envision myself, you know, furthering my baseball career and, you know, education as well. So, you know, as soon as they offered, I kind of jumped on it, and, you know, I haven't regretted any decision since. You made a lot of lifelong friends and learned a lot of stuff about baseball and, you know, life in general, you know, during my time there. And, you know, some of the best 3 years of my life, and, you know, I wouldn't change anything.
Kesson, the truth is I moved my family down to that area, and I'm raising my kids in that area, so I know that community. I know how much it means. What was your go-to? Were you going to In-N-Out Burger at the University Center? Where were you hanging out when you weren't going to school and playing baseball?
Yeah, definitely a lot of trips to the In-N-Out right across the street. Fashion Island is always a good destination. But there's Newport Beach, a lot of the guys live there during the year, so activities and stuff to do out there are endless, and it was such a good place to be able to grow up, kind of become an adult, and learn about life out there.
Kesson Hira joining us. So I like your background because you're a SoCal native. I like your background because you went to UC Irvine. I know that area. I like your background because you're a UC guy. I went to UC Santa Barbara. So just kind of indulge me here. What do you remember about your battles against the Gauchos up in UCSB?
Oh, those were always fun. UCSB has been a great program for a while. And, some of my best friends from high school actually were able to play there. And it's always fun to go there and, face against them and, battle out for the Big West. So it was always a series that a lot of us look forward to. A lot of times it was on national television. So those were definitely some fun series.
All right, so let me bring this back to the major league level. All this is great and it's fun, and we've got these local ties. But the fact of the matter is, the MLB draft rolls around. You were the number 9th pick overall. What was that moment like for you, and what did it mean to share that with your family and your friends?
Yeah, it was really special. That year leading up to the draft, it was a little difficult. I hurt my elbow, and ultimately it took me out from playing on the field. So I was ending up DHing the whole year. So that was a little different than what I was accustomed to, and especially with the draft coming up. There were a lot of questions, a lot of answers that needed to be had. So, everything worked out at the end, and I can't thank the Brewers organization enough for giving me this opportunity. It's been a blast so far. Everything's gone by so fast, but I appreciate it all.
Hey, listen, before you go, they would say, you mentioned the organization, they would say that this is not a surprise to anybody that you're doing as well as you are, as quickly as you are. In fact, Rick Sweet, who managed you in AAA, said, quote, "I've had Ken Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez, Luis Gonzalez, and some other names, Vladimir Guerrero, that are good hitters. Kesson falls into that category. He's special. We're just seeing the tip of it. He's a special hitter." I mean, dude, that is amazingly high praise. What's it mean to hear your name mentioned with Hall of Famers like that?
Yeah, it's really awesome. Rick Sweet has been around baseball forever, and he's one of the best managers I've ever had. So just to get that praise from his is really special. And, I'm looking to be able to make a name for myself in that way. But at the same time, just enjoying the process the whole way. But Rick, I had a great time down in San Antonio with Sweetie, and he's such a great guy. And I can't thank him enough for that praise.
Kesson, one more thing about Irvine before I let you go. You talked about how MLB players would show up to work out. When you see guys like Nolan Arenado showing up, what was that like, and what did you learn from watching them?
Yeah, so during my time at UC Irvine, in the offseason, players like Arenado, Pujols, Matt Chapman, Cole Hamels, a bunch of people would come and work out on the field and take ground balls, take batting practice, throw bullpen. So, a lot of professional athletes came there to practice, and it was a lot really cool to be able to watch that. Once class was over, head to the field early and just watch them do their work, and kind of inspire you to push yourself a little bit more too. So once I got drafted, I had the opportunity to be one of those guys and be able to work out with Arenado every single day and hit with Pujols every single day. So it was truly special. And I think that's really important for people on on that team to kind of watch them go about their work ethic and kind of inspire them to push a little harder.
My guest is Mike Silver. Mike, good to have you back. How are you?
Great, Jim. How are you, man?
Good, good, bud. Listen, there is a lot to cover from the offseason, and you've written pieces on a number of different teams, but I guess we should probably start with Antonio Brown and the Raiders. You had one of the all-time great Twitter threads last Friday, Mike, that actually made me laugh out loud. Before I get to my favorite part of that thread, before this all came to a head, if you will, how would you describe the relationship between Brown and the team?
Well, it's been weird. You know, they obviously traded for him when he was going through some stuff with the Steelers, and they were super pumped, and things were going along pretty well over the offseason. And then when it came time for phase three of OTAs, when you actually put on a helmet, he was told, hey, you're not going to be able to wear this helmet that you've always worn. And he seemed cool with it. Showed up with a film crew all pumped up, waited for them to give him his old helmet. They wouldn't do it, as they said they wouldn't, and he freaked and stormed out. The next day, he showed up and pulled a George Costanza, like, what do you mean? Everything's cool, and took the new helmet and acted like there was no problem, and then later tried to sneak the old helmet back in, now with a shoddy paint job that kind of was like Raider colors, but not really. And then in training camp, tried to slip it in again. So at some point, it became not super amusing and a point of concern for the team, because he also basically took off from training camp as he was dealing with his foot injury and wasn't communicating a whole lot, and still seemed to be freaking out about the helmet. And, you know, coaches stress out anyway, but it was becoming a pretty stressful thing.
Mike Silver joining us. Now, Mike, listening to you lay it out like that is cool, but reading it as part of that thread was even better. Let me read the 13th tweet in the thread. Quote, however, sometime the next couple of weeks, Brown once again tried to take the field with his old helmet, which he had since repainted with colors approximating, but not completely mimicking the Raiders' silver and black design. I mean, Mike, I know you just said it, but did he really try to repaint his old helmet silver and black and think that nobody was going to notice?
Yeah, I don't know that he himself painted it. I was told it was more of a gray and black, you know, maybe not silver, maybe closer to gray. So, yeah, I don't know if he thought he would just slip it by, but got to give him points for trying, I guess.
Mike Silver joining us. All right, there's more. You reported also, quote, Brown, according to witnesses, typically glances at the screens of several tablets and a smartphone during meetings, distracting himself by engaging in activities which include perusing his bank accounts and liking photos on Instagram. So, Mike, like, what do his teammates and members of the organization make of him doing that? Is that just Antonio being Antonio, or is that something of an issue?
I mean, I think it's one of those things, you know, when it's a team like the Steelers where he's won so many games for them, then they can kind of put it in the Antonio being Antonio bucket, because they've been to battle together. The Raiders, they haven't, so it's more of a curiosity. This is what I'm told is the deal. The guy is an incredibly hard worker on the field. He is an incredibly hard worker away from the field in terms of running routes, catching balls, keeping himself in shape. I mean, a maniac. He is pretty responsive to one-on-one coaching and instruction. In other words, hey, man, this is what we need you to do here. Look him in the eye. That part goes fine. The group stuff, the meeting, that type of thing, he seems to, you know, be less focused and attentive. So, you know, I think if you produce like Antonio Brown has produced in the past, the Raiders can live with that. It's, you know, it's something that other players, you know, present similar challenges. And if you're that good, you get away with it. You know, that said, if you put it in, you know, put it as part of a pattern that includes freaking out over helmets and bizarre feet injuries and you know, making, you know, strong proclamations to people that get around, I think it becomes concerning. So right now they're in a good period where he's back, and sounds like he's going to try to wear a helmet that works or find a different one, and the feet are healing and everything's kumbaya. But, you know, I don't think it's fair to say they're not concerned.
Mike Silver joining us. All right, as I mentioned, Mike, you've written a number of pieces in the last several weeks. So let me ask you about something else. They were playing the Cardinals last night in Arizona. Back in April, you did a piece on Steve Keim and the decision to take Kyler Murray. He knows full well what's at stake with that pick. What was it about Murray that made Keim feel like that was the right pick?
Well, I mean, you got to put it in the larger context. What Steve Keim essentially was saying to owner Michael Bidwell was, hey, listen, I know that I said we should hire Steve Wilkes, change our defensive system, and trade up to draft Josh Rosen last year, and that was the plan. New plan. We have since fired Steve Wilkes. We now want to bring in Cliff Kingsbury, change both systems, offense and defense, and to run this system right, we really need to go get this guy, Kyler Murray, who's even better than Josh Rosen, and dub him. So that doesn't mean it's wrong. If Murray is better than Rosen and if Kingsbury is better than Wilkes, then, you know, you cut your losses, you move on. But obviously, Steve's under a lot of pressure given the way things went last year, also had a DUI. It's not an ideal situation for a GM. So, to Steve's credit, he knows what's on the line and felt like Kyler Murray could be a transcendent player. But, they didn't – procedurally, I didn't think they played it real well. It was the worst-kept secret in the NFL. Everybody knew it was going to happen. They steadfastly refused not only to acknowledge it but to even put out feelers on the Josh Rosen thing, where you kind of knew what he was worth or you were ready to pounce as the draft was going down, and they didn't get a ton for him from Miami. It all works out if Kyler Murray turns out to be Russell Wilson or Andrew Luck when healthy, which is a whole other subject. But if he doesn't, then it's a disaster.
Mike Silver is joining us. All right, so what about that whole other subject? You had a piece on Andrew Luck and his mindset going into the season. Obviously, he's dealing with an injury at the moment. But when you talked with him, how would you describe where he was at from a mental and emotional standpoint?
He seemed really good. He's expecting his first child, he and his wife. He's a guy who's been through a lot the last few years. He's kind of seen the abyss. He's grappled with his football mortality. Didn't know if the shoulder was ever going to be right again, and had to kind of get through some dark places. And I think all of that is good on the human side. That was back on day one of training camp, and he just had this little calf thing, and it was going to be fine, and he was going to be back. Now we're once again in the weird Andrew Luck zone, which, it's not his fault, but this is what we went through a couple years back with the arm, where it's like, we're just keeping him out for a little, but of course it's going to be fine. Of course he's going to play in the opener. Of course he's going to play this season. And then, of course, never ended up playing. So, we're getting a little more clarity. It sounds like maybe there's a bone issue and it's high ankle related, but it's certainly concerning, because that team, we saw last year what they did. They had a play-in game against the Titans. They won that. They went down to Houston and played another division rival in the playoffs and blew them away. They've got a ton of cap space. They had two great rookies last year in Leonard and Nelson, and a lot to be excited about and a lot of optimism. But if you take Andrew Luck out of that equation, they're still a pretty good team, and Jacoby Brissett is intriguing, but they're no longer thinking, hey, we're a legit Super Bowl contender.
Mike Silver joining us. I was going to ask you about that, because T.Y. Hilton said this Colts team probably is the most talented team he's ever been around. I mean, maybe so, right, Mike? But not talented enough to make a deep run without Luck being 100%, or even if he misses a few games, right?
Maybe a few games, but yeah, I mean, on paper, I would say it'd be tough to imagine them being that talented without the quarterback position established. And I know a lot of people like Brissett, including them. But, we've seen some weird things. It'd be one thing if we just had clarity and it was like, okay, look, this is what's wrong with Andrew Luck. It's definitely going to take 6 weeks. And then after that, we expect him to be fine. That's one thing. It's the uncertainty and the weirdness and the similarities to the previous time we went through this that I think concern people.
So one more thing. You sat down with Dolphins head coach Brian Flores recently. And when I mean sat down, you initially sat in the wrong chair. What did he tell you when that happened? And what did that say about him?
Either he's a big fan of mob movies and maybe, The Sopranos, where you've got to be facing the doors, or more likely he comes from a place that was maybe a little more hard scrabble than my upbringing in Brentwood, the part of Los Angeles that is maybe not known for, maybe you don't feel that insecure when you're sitting in a room and you're worried about who's barging in. So, listen, Brian Flores is a great story. He is a guy who on paper should not have ascended to where he ascended, let alone done it in rapid fire succession. And he did it by grinding and with little fanfare. And he's a He's a guy who's no nonsense, and I think he has a chance to be an absolute star in the profession. Unfortunately, I think on paper he probably got handed the worst, the worst deal of the new head coaches. So we'll be watching it closely. We've heard Stephen Ross say and others, hey, listen, we understand what this is. We're not tanking, but we know that we're going to build this the right way, and we're not going to freak out if it doesn't happen immediately. And I'm going to hold them to that because Lord knows Stephen Ross would never be accused of saying things that are convenient or hypocritical, or maybe he would.
Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome, and I'm back in the saddle. What's cracking? Good to be here. Let's get it, y'all. How were the last couple of weeks for you? Mine were pretty decent, but not nearly as much as an adventure as Antonio Brown.
Miss a big thing.
Have yourself a summer. Yeah! There's only one person on this planet who could get frostbite in July in France, and that person is Antonio Brown.
Business is booming, my brother.
Imagine this dude trying to run routes without his feet. James Jones, my guest.
I'm assuming he's been in this machine 100 times. He probably was in a rush. Man, come on, I got to hurry up and get in before I get up out of here. Jumped in there, and they got a hold of his feet, and he ended up like that.
As soon as we're up in the air, I immediately go on my phone and I start looking for Apple resellers in Croatia. That's how much of a degenerate I am. That's how sick I am. Apple resellers in Croatia. Yogi Roth.
Don't be a prisoner of the moment, but be a product of the process. When I throw a bad pick, or when I'm pissed, if I'm benched, if I'm Tate Martell today and not named the starter at Miami that just happened a few minutes ago, don't be a prisoner of the moment. Be a product of your entire process, because you're 18, and that's not a long life, but it's not 5 minutes when a decision was made.
Damn, man. They'll let anybody in the Radio Hall of Fame, won't they? Clones have been so amazing by trying to get me inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. And finally, that vote came through, and it worked in my favor. I'm really excited about that. We did it. Really excited to go in with a couple of good friends, Kevin and Pete. Mike Gundy.
Bill asked me, Coach, did you cut your hair? And I said, I have to every once in a while. By now, it would be down to the top of my butt. They kind of freak out if they think I cut my hair.
Neil Brown joining us.
I'm following up Gundy here. You know, my hair is nowhere near what his is.
Don't take that personally. Nobody's is. Nobody's is. Not mine, not yours, not anybody.
Wake up.
Gaze. This guy shows up with like a Hasim Rahman on his forehead or his neck. We'll know why. Hey, honey, I know you got to get back to work. Is there a way that you maybe might scrape up that placenta off the floor? Hey, Casey, what's up?
There was a shortage of Petersilin, because if they had as many sticking out of them as they had stuck in them, they'd look like a porcupine.
Calvin, do you like working here?
No. I didn't know what Petersilin was. Like,
is no excuse.
My feet is pretty much getting circumcised, right?
Float like a butterfly, freeze like AB.
You want to see it?
No. No, I don't want to see it.
Are you sure you want to see it?
No, I'm sure I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to talk about it. Cameron Wake.
You know, that chip on your shoulder where you're going against a guy who was drafted and you weren't, and let's go kick his butt. I'm content with who I am, where I am, what I've become. I look at my journey. I look at, you know, where I started and where I am now.
And you had a wreck, and your hand was almost severed off.
In this case, who's got the severed hand? Jera or Dak or Zeke? Or
it's always good.
Somebody get a hand circumcision.
Circumcising the mosquito.
Matt's call was so bad, he went on Twitter afterwards and quit the show. His first ever positive contribution.
Hey, Rick, stop opening your gap with my name in it.
Daniel Cormier. Is there a possibility, Daniel, that Saturday night might be the last time fans see you in the cage?
Yeah, it very well could be, Jim. You know, like, I'm not going to stick around and negatively affect my legacy and my reputation.
Dana White joins me in studio.
I dread the day Daniel Cormier leaves. As a fight fan and as a fan of Cormier, I dread the day.
But what was your reaction when you saw Nate and then when he passed it to the fans?
I don't know what to say. Just
email.
Can we also get an Eye of the Hawk segment? I haven't heard it. I don't want to hear it.
This is the Eye of the Hawk.
Alex Rodriguez in the middle of a Red Sox-Yankees game getting a crappy birthday cake.
The Mount Rushmore of the worst moments in broadcast history.
Somehow getting photographed while taking a dump in his apartment was less embarrassing.
Oh.
Then I stumbled upon a website, which is like Tinder for tennis.
Tinder for tennis.
I want it to go well. I want there to be a second date.
I don't know what happened. I'm going to pretend it didn't happen. Be off. What's up?
If you want to get high,
you gonna call?
Who?
No, Duster!
Ah! The self-gloss segment.
Make it count.
Hey, Rome, it's the Hooter Sharpshooter.
I'm the Lumberjack, Rome.
Romy, they call me the Chicken Man.
Really, why?
That the chicks love me, and I have a big rooster.
They all refer to me as the Mango Nut Rag.
Yo, Jim, they call me O'Reilly's, but they also used to call me the Taco Teaser at Penn State.
Marky the Gooch.
Andy the Dandy from Clevelandy.
Where'd that come from?
See, I just made it up because I wanted to get on the show. Also, I have a big schmeckle.
Ah! Canadian Beaver Savior.
Yeah, helmet Scuffer. Ah!
There will never, ever, ever be another Nickname Your Package segment. We're good. We're done.
Now I'm done.
You're welcome.
I know what it's like to not know where your next paycheck is coming from.
Give me back my
laptop.
Give me back my
laptop.
Give me back my
laptop.
CTC and control the controllables.
Turtlenecks.
I hate that son of a bitch.
Anything you need, just let me know, okay?
Feel sorry for me later.
It's always fun to be in the jungle.
He lost his wallet in El Segundo.
Jim, nice talking to you, brother.
Oh, my God.
No moss.
Good night now. Good night now.